Blog Talk Radio.
Today, where of course John Kasich is the governor of Ohio, and he thinks he should be the Republican candidate for the 2016 election. And of course, Ohio is known, and Virginia is known, as the mother of presidents. However, the last successful presidential candidate from Ohio was Warren G. Harding. This was the 1920-21 election, and of course, Warren G. Harding was the candidate of what they called at the time the smoke-filled room, where bigwigs, party leaders, got together in a room smoking cigars and drinking liquor and chose Warren G. Harding, who was then a senator from Ohio. There were two presidential candidates in that year were Warren G. Harding and James B. Cox. They were both newspaper publishers from Ohio. Warren G. Harding was known as a slob. He also was probably the first presidential candidate who had what they called Negro blood. And when he was accused of this, he said, "I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence." The G stood for Gamaliel, which is a concoction of a name that his mother wanted something biblical, and so she created that name. Now, after Harding came Robert Taft Jr., who was the son of William Howard Taft, president and the only president who became Chief Justice of the United States. Taft was known as Mr. Conservative, and he opposed General Eisenhower in the 1951-52 Republican convention. However, Taft was defeated by the Eisenhower people. Now, John Kasich, who is the governor of Ohio, thinks that he should be the candidate and he can beat Hillary and all of that. However, it doesn't look good. There's something wimpy about the guy. Now, this name has cropped up again. Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin. Wisconsin had a candidate for president, and that was Robert G. La Follette. And I think we ought to play a comment from him about what citizens' rights are, obligations for to be a citizen. And of course, he was known as a progressive, and the progressives were the people at that time who opposed big business. They were for the farmer, for the middle class. They were for controlling immigration and keeping Indians on the reservations. and also they were against prostitution. And among the other, among the other conservatives were Hiram Johnson, the governor of California, Fiorella LaGuardia, William G. Norris. These were the real conservatives. Now, the progressives, excuse me, the people who claim they're progressives today are actually closet communists. When the World War II ended and it was obvious what Stalin was up to when he started stomping all over Eastern Europe, the communists, the American communists, went into their political closet and came out en masse as conservatives. Progressives. They're not progressive unless you consider a case of cancer. So let's see if we have, we should have Senator Robert La Follette here. Let's see. Oh, I don't know what happened to him. That's Barry Goldwater. Now, Barry Goldwater was also a controversial candidate for president in 1964. And, of course, he was defeated by Lyndon Johnson because of the scare tactics. And one of the most successful ads on television time I remember was a little baby playing with something. And then, of course, you had the countdown to the nuclear explosion, and that didn't help Goldwater. And of course, the slogan extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And of course, the Republicans didn't know how damaging that was. And of course, the Democrats took advantage of it. Here's Warren G. Harding talking about America First. This is something we're hearing today.
My countrymen, first flaming torch of Americanism was lighted in framing the federal constitution in 1787. The pilgrims signed their simple and majestic covenant a full century and a half before and set aflame their beacon of liberty on the coast of Massachusetts. Other pioneers of New World freedom were rearing their new standards of liberty from Jamestown to Plymouth for five generations before Lexington and Concord heralded the new era. It was all American in the best and results, yet all of it lacked the soul of nationality. In simple truth, there was no thought of nationality in the revolution for American independence. The colonists were resisting a wrong, and freedom was their solace. Once it was achieved, nationality was the only agency suited to its preservation. Americanism really began when roped in nationality. The American Republic began the blazed trail of representative popular government. Representative democracy was proclaimed the safe agency of highest human freedom. America headed the forward procession of civil, human, and religious liberty, which ultimately will affect the liberation of all mankind. The Federal Constitution is the very base of all Americanism, the Ark of the Covenant of American Liberty, the very temple of equal rights. The Constitution does abide and ever will, so long as the Republic survives. Let us hesitate before we surrender the nationality which is the very soul of highest Americanism. This republic has never failed humanity nor endangered civilization.
Now, it should be noticed that even though Warren G. Harding was accused of being Negro or black, he was the only president at that time who went down to the South and told a white audience that they should give, quote, the Negro his civil rights. Woodrow Wilson was a racist. Woodrow Wilson was from Virginia. He resegregated Washington, D.C. No other candidate, neither FDR, Wendell Willkie, Tom Dewey, also came forward and said you have to give the Negro their rights. And, of course, now we had Lyndon Johnson from Texas, who pushed through Congress the Civil Rights Act back in 1963-64 during his first administration. Of course, it came up during President Kennedy's administration, but he thought, the word is that he didn't think he could get it through, and he was waiting to be reelected. Then he would try to push it through. So these are the interesting times of these presidential candidates. Now, excuse me, we have Robert T. Taft was known as Mr. Conservative, and as I said, he was the son of William Howard Taft. And, of course, the Tafts have been very prominent in Ohio politics. I think there was a Governor Taft, and also one of the Tafts was involved in the Military Code of Justice. And I think it was the Defense Department. He was a lawyer. But we haven't heard anything since from the Tafts. Maybe they're behind the scenes. Now, John Kasich was in Congress, but from my sources, what they tell me, what they know about him, that he basically was a mediocre congressman. How he got elected of Ohio, I don't know. The other thing is Scott Walker. His name has come up last year when he defeated the unions in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has never produced a successful presidential candidate. Robert G. Follett, progressive, a true progressive, was a candidate and on what they called the progressive ticket at the time during the 20s and the 30s. And then I think William Proxmire, who was a senator, his name came up, but there's never been anybody up from Wisconsin who was successful as a presidential candidate or was elected as president. So this is going to be very interesting. Now, what else is going on is the Ted Cruz new controversy. His wife, Heidi Cruz, is supposed to be involved with Goldman Sachs, the controversial financial institution, which caused a part of the meltdown of the American economy during the Clinton administration. Now, she's also connected to the CFR, which is the Council on Foreign Relations, which is also controversy. People think they have too much influence on American foreign policy and determining the economy. So we shall see what we shall see. Now, among the birthdays today, we have the great Arturo Toscanini, who was probably the greatest Italian musical conductor in probably the last 100 years. There have been several other Italians who have been very fine conductors. Muti, Riccardo Muti, Claudio Abbado. We've had, Riccardo Chailly, but nobody ever approached Toscanini, who also composed and was piano. So a lot of the conductors have tried their hand at composition and also composed music. Also on this day was the great Hungary's greatest composer, Béla Bartók, who died of cancer. Fritz Reiner, who was his fellow Hungarian and a great conductor of the Chicago Symphony and the Metropolitan Opera, he commissioned Béla Bartók to write a work to help him pay his medical bills, and Béla Bartók composed the Concerto for Orchestra, which is one of the great pieces we hear today. Also on this day, we have Ed Begley, Sr., whose son was also an actor. Ed Begley was in a racially themed movie with, I think it was... Robert Ryan, who is from Chicago, great actor, he's dead, and also, Sidney Poitier, they were pulling off a robbery, and Robert Ryan, just his racism blew the riot, the successful robbery, and of course, Ed Begley was trying to, who set it up, got caught up in all of this, and it was unsuccessful. Great, it was a great black and white film. Also on this day, Maryland was set up by Lord Baltimore. Maryland was set up as the first Catholic colony, and of course their politics has been heavily influenced by Catholics who live there, and also the fact that it's one of the most corrupt states in the Union. Also on this day, the British Parliament was the first government First Nation to abolish slavery in 1807, or the slave trade. Now I'm going to play some clips from Toscanini. His background is interesting. He served in World War I as a bandmaster, but he also supported Mussolini, as did a lot of people at the time. We're going to play some audio clips from that depict Toscanini.
And to think that I was once a friend of the great delinquent.
The great who?
I got to know Mussolini. I was even on his electoral slate. I supported him.
You supported Mussolini?
Say, yes, me. And it was a total disaster.
Remember, at the time, Mussolini was left of the Socialist Party. Very different from when he created fascism.
Listen, I repented even before that criminal came to power in 22. 3 years before that, Walter and I attended one of his secret meetings. Mussolini was speaking. He came over and tried to get me to join.
Mon Dieu.
Then...
Marinetti.
Marinetti.
Poeta futurista.
Si. He came over later. He persuaded me to put my name to the slate.
Seriously?
Yes. Everyone was surprised. People telephoned me. What? Toscanini with Mussolini. Yes, Toscanini with Mussolini. I'm sick of hearing everybody to talk, and doing nothing about it.
When that opportunity swung from left to right, I openly turned against it. What a monster he was. As long as I was at La Scala, I refused to hang those mandatory portraits of Mussolini or the king. What a horrible period.
The fascisti would say that Papa was unpatriotic. After all he'd done for Italy.
I had conducted the Anthem Italian many times during the Great War to raise money for the war effort. And I conducted patriotic music with a military band on the front in 1917. We played on Monte Santo under enemy fire. But I would never play the Antifascista if my life depended on it. I never feared death. I think about it every day. With the same.
Now Toscanini, the head of Robert Sarnoff, who ran NBC, set up an orchestra for Toscanini, the NBC Symphony Orchestra, and he used to play regularly over the radio. Toscanini had a ferocious temper. He would smash a player's instrument over their head if he didn't like their playing or if they played wrong notes. He got away with it, and he also would throw batons at his players. He got away with it. He couldn't get away with that today if he was around. Toscanini, during World War II, the American propaganda machine produced the Hymn of Nations. And what Toscanini did, he put the anthems together in a soundtrack for the propaganda organ of the Allies. It was called the Hymn of Nations, and they inserted the Russian anthem, which at the time was called the Internationale. Later, Toscanini regretted this. So we're going to play the clip from the Hymn of Nations conducted by Toscanini.
Thank you.
that was the International, as arranged by Toscanini for the World War II propaganda film, Hymn of Nations. You don't see that film anymore. It's largely been banned. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. We'll be back Monday, which is known as Easter Monday in some countries, Canada, the United Kingdom. It's also a holiday for a lot of people. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. Have a happy Easter. And Passover, I think, is in April.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need the games for children, need the game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
Okay.
Break your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
It's Peter Paul Brazola. Have a happy weekend and happy Easter for those who celebrate it. And, of course, Passover. When that comes, I wish you a happy Passover. Stay safe. Good night.